So when we talk about the number of FAs and the number of clients per advisor, Howard, is that number two or three?
That's a good question. And as you'll see with the with our group, it's always a gray. So I would say it's 2.25. I would say, you know, the last time we ran the numbers, Donald has about 30 households that I would say he's responsible for. And responsible for means he's the front person. We do all the admin. We do all the trading. We do all the portfolio management. He is just kind of the client face. But every year that number goes down.
Okay. So he's responsible for the daily contact with these people?
I wouldn't even say the daily. I would say he's just the face person.
So do you are you and Howard or Scott talking to his clients during the year?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. I got it. Thanks for pointing that out.
As I said, it's gray.
A lot of things can be gray in this. Most things are there's room for black for gray in everything but ethics. That's usually black and white. So I get it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We'll agree with you.
All right. I'm excited to get started with your group. If for no other reason, I've been a Cincinnati Reds fan since I was 10 years old. I don't know if you all follow the Reds. It's been kind of tough over the last couple of years.
It's been tough last couple of years, and the next couple are going to be even worse.
Well, yeah, I know. I know. I used to lose sleep over things like that when I was your age. I don't do that anymore. As you know, we're going to meet for 12 weeks, and then we're going to go monthly for 9 more months. I think it's important, folks, that you understand the genesis of this program. It was all designed, and if you've read Rob's book, you get a sense for it. It was designed to improve the client experience. It came out of a time in the business when Rob's office in Indianapolis was growing, but they were losing people out the back door through poor service, and that's where Supernova came from. It's always part of my 36 years with Merrill Lynch was in capital markets, and the folks who work with the Japanese told me an interesting story. He said the Japanese always want to know the conclusion first. So that they can decide if they want to listen or not. When a stock analyst talks to the Japanese, they wanted the bottom line, and then they tell them if they wanted more. So in that spirit, here are my goals for the Supernova experience. First of all, bring balance to your life. My experience is that this business will take about every minute you allow it to have. I've read your bios. You all have activities and family away from the office. I want you to have balance. It makes you a better FA. So balance in your life is important to us. The second thing is we want to increase the focus on your practice. You're managing around $255 million. That's a lot of money. You have to run it like a business. A lot of FAs don't run it like a business. It's important that you increase the focus on your practice. And the final part is I want to help you significantly grow your practice. You have a strong team. Your clients and your centers of influence can lead you to a lot more business. So those are the goals. Balance, increase focus on your practice as a business, and then significantly grow the practice. I know I mentioned this in our introductory call, but I want to make sure that you understand how these 12 weeks are going to be structured. The first 4 weeks are going to be spent on the segmentation of your practice. That's getting it down to its core. For us, that's 100 households per FA. While that's the primary focus, I'm going to have three other tasks in the first 4 weeks. Number one, help you establish a minimum, make sure it's the right minimum, help you develop your ideal client model. So you, if you know what you're looking for, you're more likely to find it. And then the third is to hit the reset button on your service model, on your practice. You all have a successful practice already. I want you to go back to your clients and talk about the refinements you're making around your service model. So that's the first 4 weeks. The next 4 weeks, we're going to be using it to get your practice organized in a repeatable way. And then the last 4 weeks are going to be spent on building acquisition strategies. After your practice is down to its core and it's organized, you have time and the increased confidence to grow the practice. And when I say increased confidence, more and more, that's what I'm hearing from advisors with Supernova. We don't teach many rookies. It's just not what we do. So we're dealing with people at higher levels in this business, and they're coming away with more confidence because they can explain their practice better. They can explain their service model, and most importantly, they know they can deliver it. That's the increased confidence that's going to allow you to grow your practice. Now, again, I might cross over the segments. If I talk about something next week or you all bring up something that could lead to an acquisition discussion, I'm going to go ahead and do that. The best time sometimes to talk about acquisition is when you have real-life experiences. So I'm going to cross over among the three segments. A couple other things. Number one, you have a Supernova guide. The homework assignments for the following week or at the end of the current week. For example, on page 23 of your Supernova guide, you will find the homework for next week. After every call, you're going to receive a link to a video that will be extremely helpful as you prepare for the next week. In that same email will be a link to the recording of this call. So if you didn't get something, you can always go back and listen to the call. Now, obviously, not obviously, but I want you to know you can pick up the phone and call me also. Don't be shy about doing that. If I can't talk to you then, I will call you back. I'll give you my cell phone number right now. It's 615-473-1701. 615-473-1701. If y'all get stuck in the ditch, I can get you out of the ditch quicker than you can get yourself. Pick up the phone and give me a call. Now, while the homework and watching the videos is important, know that I've done your job. If there's a week you don't get everything done, I just had that happen with a fella in New York. He just didn't get it all done. Don't worry about it. Keep showing up. I'll get you through it. Howard or Scott, anybody got any questions?
Rob, we'll look at the calendar going forward. Obviously, it's hard to get all five of us together. I know, for example, Patty's out next week, and then I know we have spring break towards the end of March. At what number are we missing people? Do we skip a week and push it off?
It's important that we start talking about organization, Howard, in weeks five and six, or we start talking in five. It's important that whoever is going to do the scheduling for you, whoever is going to put the folders together, is there for week five.
Gotcha.
So the real answer to your question is I can't make that decision for you.
Okay.
If you've got to decide if you need to postpone. You've got Lori Shally's email address. She sent you a lot of stuff. Just email her and tell her and copy me. And we'll work with you on the thing. But you're wise to say if there's one person available, that probably isn't going to be the best use of the time. On the other hand, make your best effort, and we always get that stuff worked out, Howard.
No problem. And also, with your line being recorded, Patty can listen to the call, do the homework, and catch up, and all that. So that's great.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's. I want to get some information from you. You've been kind enough to send me information, a few things that I want to address. What's your account minimum for new business?
So if I met you on an airplane today, I would tell you it's $1 million.
Okay, but what's your minimum?
We do not have an actual minimum that's in force.
Tell me why. Is it you just – there are lots of answers. I don't want to look like I'm smug. I'm uncomfortable. Whatever. What's the
it's
reason?
It's a fair question.
Well, one of the typical reasons is that, you know, we've had the call before where we're working with a sphere of influence or a family that's in our top 50 households, and he says there's a lady that's worked for us for 25 years. She needs some advice on some money she inherited. Can you help her? $35,000. Well,
yeah.
Our response is absolutely. It happened before. It'll happen again. That's our a potential issue to answer your question. That, you know, we really don't have a minimum.
So Rob,
okay.
Just elaborate. I agree with what Scotty said. Just to elaborate. So we're a referral-only practice, which I'm sure a lot of people you work with. We don't do any cold calls, seminars, blah blah blah. But as Scotty said, if you know Dr. X is important to us, if somebody else is important to them, his technician or family member or cousin or friend, we tell them we'll help those people. And so that's where we've considered them kind of a super household. We would never, you know, take on that person other than it's important to that person. And so we kind of, it comes up under that client. So, for example, a client in the top five, he referred his paralegal to me. And, you know, she'd been with him 20 years, blah, 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 $70,000 account. And I talked to her once a year. So we put it under there. So that's where, once again, we've gotten gray in the past. We typically bring in, in one of the pieces of paper I sent you, we typically bring in 10 to 15 new households a year.
All right. I heard everything you said, Scott. And this is a really good time to tell you that I would bet, Scott, that in your career, when you've used common sense, it usually has served you well. Am I right?
I would say so.
So if your number five client has an assistant who inherited $35,000, I think common sense tells you that you helped that lady. Now, let's put it in a bigger perspective. If your minimum is a million, so let's look at that. So, Scott, if I have 900,000, and you think you could get along with me, and I want, and you know I will do whatever you ask me to do, and you will make it, you could make it a fee based account. I know 89% of your business is fee based. Would you turn me away?
No.
Well,
not.
Okay. Then is
yeah, back to your common sense. My common sense response would be no.
Well. Scott, get a little. If you can get a little closer to the speaker, it would help. Help me
okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
So you would turn down you would accept a $900,000 relationship.
Correct.
Okay. So then, aren't you violating your minimum?
Yeah, absolutely. But again, my common sense would take over.
Well,
that would be a bad business decision. I would say sitting here right now. To turn that account away.
Well, then is your minimum too high? Because what if
absolutely.
it's better in our opinion that you have a lower minimum and enforce it rather than have a higher minimum and be violating it all the time. It sends a mixed message, and most FAs don't feel great about saying I've got $1 million minimum and taken 900,000. So
well, so my question is, if it's a referral, could there be two minimums, one for off the street and one for a referral?
We don't get anything off the street.
Well, he asked you if you met somebody on the street, it'd be $1 million.
No, I said that.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you, Rob, as far as at some point you have to have some minimum and you have to enforce it. My clarification would have been, is it a $900,000 account that's a 35-year-old doctor who has earning potential, or is it a $900,000 who's, you know, 80 years old and he's pulling out money?
Okay. You're going where I was going. So let me paint another picture, Scott. If I had $35,000, I was referred to you, I have $35,000, but I have a $2 million liquidity event in July, would you take my relationship?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's common sense. So here's how I would suggest. First of all, you've got to come up with a number. It's part of your brand. I would suggest that here's how you present your minimum. And I'm going to just pretend it's a million. The client, your referrals have to hear that your minimum is $1 million. You don't start by saying, well, you know, it's 900 and no, that's violating your minimum. But my here, how about if you presented it this way, Scott? My minimum is $1 million unless there are extenuating circumstances. Let's go back to the doctor you painted who's got 900,000, and by this time next year, he could be at $1 million. So your minimum could, and I'm just giving you a thought process here, I'm not telling you what to say. Our minimum is $1 million unless they're or have the ability to be at $1 million within the next year. Now, to me, that sounds black and white, not gray. Here it is.
Right.
You got to have $1 million, and that's not how you'd say it, unless there are extenuating circumstances. You got to be able to have $1 million or be at $1 million within a year, unless there are extenuating circumstances. The picture I painted for you a minute ago, I have 35,000, I got a $2 million liquidity event. Gosh, that's an extenuating circumstance. I can't imagine. I've only had one person at this age of supernova say, nope, I will not open anything under $1 million. I just don't violate it. And that's great. That's what they wanted to do. But if I got somebody who's got 950 and they're in an accumulation stage, not a distribution phase, I don't think that's an extenuating circumstance. You with me?
With you. So Rob, I'll just say that I use that number off the cuff and I've used it for years. But you know, I think Scotty's comment, and I think it's he and I need to go back and really think about it. Is it 500? Is it 750 or $1 million? And instead of just being so flip like I was, I think we need to be comfortable and confident in that answer, and then use your qualification of unless circumstances.
There,
so Scott and I will work on that.
Okay. Our
just
minimum is
$1 million. Yeah.
Go ahead.
But just looking at the math, you know, if we average, you know, 90 basis points now, you know, on an account, you know, really, to, you know, a $5,000 account for us is still a really good account. So maybe it's 500 or 600 or 750. So we need to spend a little bit of time looking at that rather than just such a flip answer.
Well, what you're broaching here, Howard, is some people, I mean, I get the question a lot at this stage, can we have our minimum be the fees they generate rather than a dollar amount? And the answer is yes, but I am not comfortable talking about how much the client is going to generate in fees right off the bat. It seems like I'm taking my eye off the client and
right.
the possible client. So I'm not a fan of using a fee. My CPA does and is not shy to talk about it. But
right.
I just don't think it's the – I would much rather say my minimum is $1 million than say you've got to generate $10,000 in fees.
Right. I hear you. I was meaning what Scott and I would talk about, what I call behind the curtain, is we would see what dollar amount is the type of client we want to have as far as fees and equate it to a dollar amount as far as managed money, and that's the public answer we would have.
Yes. That's not the public answer. That is the answer.
Correct.
So – I would much rather have a $750,000 relationship, Howard, that allow me to fully annuitize it and have recurring fees than a $1 million relationship who wants to fight me over cents per share.
You got
it. So, and again, you don't have to take everybody. I mean, if somebody wants to bring in $2 million and they want to talk to you four times a day and want to do it for, you know, 5 cents a share, they don't really fit your practice. Now, let me follow up on going back about the your number five client having somebody who inherited $35,000. We have two types of clients in Supernova. We have people who get Supernova service, and we have, if you've read the book, a category Rob calls butlers. I'm not a fan of the term. Rob doesn't want to change it. It's not going to get changed. But butler is somebody you have to keep. for example, you there?
Yeah, we lost you for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, you have to be able to, this $35,000 assistant to your fifth best client, you make them a butler. You don't tell them that. You accept them, but they don't get 12-4-2.
Right.
The people, and you've got other people like that in your practice. They get you give supernova clients 12-4-2. You give butlers either 4-1, which Rob Knapp advocates, or 2-1. I think 2-1 for a $35,000 relationship, that's two scheduled calls with a quarterly with one portfolio review. I think that's really good service for a $35,000 relationship. But if you want to do 4-1, that's fine. You just got to pick one and stick to it. So we've had a really good discussion here around the minimum.
We're probably doing that by default without having a category to it. There's no doubt about it.
Right. That's great. I like the 2-1 idea.
Yeah. We're doing that by default anyway. But it has a name to it
and a process.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
That's
good about the butler, because when I read the butler, I thought it was just children of clients was the category for butler.
The category for butlers are people you have to keep, period, end of story.
Okay.
All right?
Got it.
All right. Folks, it's almost the bottom of the hour. Do you have a few more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So right now, you're going to get back. Howard, you and Scott are going to get back. Next week, you will give me your thoughts on what your minimum is going to be. Again, it's not in stone, but you're going to do a little work and come up with the number.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Describe your ideal client for me. And here's what I want you to think about it. You've got clients that Peter says so-and-so's on the phone, you're excited to talk with them, you're happy to talk with them. Sometimes you got clients that when somebody says so-and-so's on the phone, you kind of give them that circular emoji with your finger, which means that means I'll call them back. So give me some of the soft characteristics of your favorite clients.
So, soft characteristics are people you like to talk to, people that take our recommendations, people that follow our advice, people that don't panic when they watch CNBC in the morning or hear something, people that are, kind and respectful to our total team, to our staff, generate enough assets, for the service level we give them. They trust us. They call us, for various inputs on to whether it's related to stuff we do for them or not. So it could be related to accounting. It could be related to estate planning. It could be related to tax. So they kind of look to us to be the quarterback. So those are the kind of people, the people who are busy and want to delegate and respectful of our time.
Okay, got it.
And I'll add to that, Howard mentioned, they trust us, and we also have to trust them at the same time. So it's two-way on the trust side. Also, another characteristic that we really like, and we've built up a really good reputation of doing this, is the referral in and the referral out. So we really, you're really touched and honored when a client calls you. Especially when your supernova client calls you and says, "Hey Scott, can you recommend a gardener? Can you recommend a restaurant? Can you recommend anything to me? We're going to XYZ. Do you have any suggestions?" And that's a great,
value add.
Yeah, well, value add is also, it's a great pat on your shoulder, so to speak.
And I want to add something. A client is willing to learn and share. We have a couple, Howard and Scott have started with, working on the children, working on the younger group, working on the parents. So it's that whole family ladder. We just don't want you to help you. We may not have their business, but we want to help your family, your legacy, as the book says.
And another thing that we've really, really, and part of our core is, and this happened from, it's just that the customer really does come first, and we're real believers of that. And I think our customers understand that.
All right. Good. Good stuff. One thing I'll point out about CNBC, if they could have the choice, if they could have their choice between having a whole bunch of viewers or being right, which do you think they'd pick?
The viewers, obviously.
Right. Right.
Never forget that. Never forget that. They want your hair to be on. They want your hair to be on fire and your eyes to be bugged out. They want to get viewers, not necessarily be right. They'd like to have both. All right.
Right.
Give me some niches that you all have. Lawyers, doctors, executives. Give me some of the niches that you all have.
That's a good question. We haven't really done a ton of profiling of that, but it's a good question. It's once again the referability. So one example would be we have 6 radiologists from the same practice. So one guy came in and then he referred friends. We had a group from Dan and Yogurt, and there's only one person left, but we have 7 related Dan and households who all came from there. But as far as niches, I wouldn't say we have 20 or 30% doctors, lawyers. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know professions or if we could tell you if there's a niche, if it's more female than male or age or any. We don't have any of those good demographic data.
Well, I'm not looking for somebody who's 30% of your practice. I'm looking for 5 of something, 10 of something. What about retirees?
I would say most of our clients are not retired. That's a good, back to age and demographics. I would say most are not retired. Most are not taking, income yet. Most are still working. I would say it's, professionals, doctors, lawyers, small business owners. That's kind of the niche, I would say. I don't know if that's good enough.
It is. As we go through this time together, not just today, other niches will come to mind. I mean, do you got any Procter & Gamble folks?
A few, not a lot, not as many as you would think.
How many do you think you got?
Yes. 2 or 3, I can guess.
All right. Those folks ever give you referrals? I'm a little off the track here, but do they ever give you referrals?
The 2 I know that I have off the top of my head have not.
Okay.
About 3.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. What percent of your time do you think right now you're spending on growing your practice?
Probably less than 10. What do you say, Scotty?
Because it comes from referrals.
Reactive.
Right.
Yeah,
it's reactive.
Okay. Okay. And I got 2 pieces of information from you. On one of the pieces, it was percentage of your clients with a plan, and I think I couldn't read it very well, but I think it was 10%. Does that sound right?
Probably.
All right. I've got your goals. Howard sent those to me. You want to add $8 million in net new for each, both Scott and Howard, or $75,000 each in fees. What other motivations do you have? What else do you want to accomplish during Supernova?
Well, for me, one of the big things I'm thinking about is just the whole idea of going from reactive to proactive. We've grown a lot. We've established a great practice over the years, and I think adding some process to it. The other thing I told the group this morning in our huddle was, we all work really, really, really hard, but we probably don't work as smart as we need to be working, so we need to be a lot more efficient. I think we give great service, but I think it could be improved, and the idea of being proactive and being ahead of the curve just gets me so excited as far as the client service we would deliver. So as Scotty says, we do it, but it's not formalized, and putting a process to it gets me really excited.
Here's what I hear, and I heard this again with the call previous to this one. He said he provides great service, but he doesn't know how to describe it to his clients. He hasn't branded his great service. Would you feel any of that?
For sure. So I would say that's the biggest fallacy of what we do. And I think it's the biggest fallacy. I would also compare it to Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati has got a great story. We just don't tell a great story. So I think it's completely true.
Okay.
Because everybody says they have great service, but no one can quantify it.
And let me give you an example of what that might look like. We are not big fans of denigrating the competition. It doesn't take a lot of talent to look at the portfolio somebody's put together for one of your prospects and criticize it. That doesn't take a lot of skill. We think unless you see something ethically, to be saying bad things about somebody's long-term relationship probably makes you look negative. But here's
right.
what we're big fans of. That's asking differentiating questions and letting the client use that information I know you know this, but when you're sitting in front of a prospect, everything you're promising or doing or say you're going to do is being filtered through what they're getting now. So when you ask a differentiating question, you're not negative, and you start to be able to differentiate yourself from the competition. When you talk about, we think service is a differentiator. So you're sitting in front of a prospect and you ask a fair question. Let's assume they're with Merrill Lynch. Could you describe for me, Ms. Jones, Merrill Lynch's service model? And Ms. Jones kind of looks at you like she's confused, and she says, "Well," and your response could be, "Well, she says, "I don't know what do you mean?" And you say, "Well, let us describe our service model. I think it'll help you answer the question better. Here's what our service model is: monthly scheduled contacts. Of those 12 contacts, 4 will be quarterly reviews, and 2 will be face-to-face. In addition, we offer rapid response to client questions, problems, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. And then finally, we offer multi-generational and fully implemented planning." And Ms. Jones, now that I've explained what I do, can you better explain the Merrill Lynch service model? And they're not going to be able to do it. So we're asking differentiating questions. When you do those things, It separates you from the competition. We think that is, and we talked about this in the introductory call, we think your competitive advantage is your service model. All the other things that you're doing are great. They are great. But we think what differentiates you quickly is the service that you provide. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. That's the base of everything that we do. Is there anything holding you back from being fully engaged in Supernova? I don't know what that would be. I mean, I had one fellow whose wife had a child like in week 2, and that was set things back a little bit, as it should have. Can you think of anything that's going to keep you all from being fully engaged in this process?
The only question I would have is, as we learn more about the monthly contact, you know, what's that agenda, what are those topics, how long, you know, that type of thing, just making sure that we can really, you know, live and die by it. You don't have to answer that today. I think that's just in the back of my head I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's a good question. I will show you how to come up with monthly topics. Everybody knows how to do a quarterly review, but we'll discuss that in depth. We will talk about what to do when you get pushback from clients about not wanting the scheduled contact. Everything I heard in your question is something that is specifically discussed during Supernova. All right?
Perfect. Andrew or Peter, do you have a question?
I do.
Go ahead.
I was going through the what do you call it, the workbook. It talks about the folders, and that's really going to fall under me. First of all, I priced them out. That's considerable. How do they work, the folders themselves? I mean, who actually touches them? Who actually sees them? What kind of information do you put in them? So I know what,
come up later.
Those are all great questions. They're questions for a couple, 3 weeks from now.
Okay.
The folders, there are four types of folders. The two that we'll concentrate on first, Patty, are the, I want to make sure I answer part of your question. The blue folders are folders that Scott and Howard, it's like it's their folder. It's the folder for the client that they keep. I will go over in week five with the team templates that fit into each of the six spaces in that blue folder. The other folder we'll talk about, and it looks like you've done a little homework, are those red folders. Those are the folders that you give to the clients. Again, that's a differentiator with your clients. It's also nice for you to be able to talk to prospects about having their own folder to help them stay organized.
And how far in advance should we be doing this? How quickly do we need to order these things? And
it would be nice for you to have those folders no later than week six.
Okay.
Because I'll go over the content with you in week five, and then what I'll ask you to do is to put together one on a specific client, run it by the team, and see if anybody wants to make changes. So it would be good for you to have those folders in week six.
And you, Patty, you can call Rob or Cindy or whoever, you know, as you start to order or whatever, if you have any questions.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I think it's good.
All right. I want to begin to, again, what we're one of the things I want to accomplish in these first 4 weeks is to have you all have the advisors talking to their clients about the refinements to their practice. Again, I don't like the word change in this situation. Change sounds like you're blowing something up and starting again. What you all are doing is what every business owner does, and that's take a step back on a regular basis, look at the practice, and see where you can make it better. So I want you to be calling your clients, talking to them about what you all are doing. So here's what I'm going to send out to everybody, a document that's entitled Points to Make with Retained Clients. Again, these are things that you might want to highlight. Now, I don't want you on the phone with the clients this week. We'll go over this more next week and the week after. But I want you to start to get in your mind what you're going to say to clients. These are great calls. Clients love hearing that they're going to hear from you on a regular basis. Some FAs have a hard time accepting the fact that clients really want to hear from them. But study 2 years ago, number one reason FAs say they lose clients, failure to contact the client. Our experience, number one driver of client satisfaction is proactive FA contact. Both on a positive and a negative, people want to hear from you. And great stories come out of it. My best is out of a fellow on Long Island that works for UBS. He called a client. He was raising part of what he was telling his clients. He was raising his minimum from $500 to $1 million. And this client had like somewhere between $500 and $1 million. And you know what he heard? He heard he was getting fired. And he said, no. Brad said, no. This minimum is for new business. You're grandfathered. And the client's response was, I don't want to be grandfathered. And he brought in another $2.5 million. So people love hearing they're going to be part of a smaller practice. So I'm going to send this thing to you. It says points to be made with retained clients. Now I'm going to give you, if you would write down these page numbers, these are page numbers from the Supernova guide that you all have received. Now, I'm going to refer to these page numbers to give you verbiage that you might want to use when you're rolling this out to your existing clients. On page 17 are letters to clients and letters to prospects. I'm not saying send letters. You may want to do that in the future, but you're going to see some language in those letters that you may want to use when you roll this out with your clients. Page 106, there are scripts for clients. again, the purpose isn't that you have to use that script. It's to give you, help you with your thought process on what you want to highlight to clients. And then if you look at page 108, you're going to see scripts for prospective clients. So, again, page 17, page 106, and page 108, I think if you look at those three pages, you're going to and put your own thoughts in there, you're going to be able to come up with a really solid script or bullet points that's going to have you get show your clients your excitement about these refinements. And I'll tell you how to have that conversation and how to lead into that conversation. So I want you to take a look at those pages and the points to be made with the retained clients and start working on your script. Now, here's the homework. You're going to find the homework. This is the end of week one. On page 23, you're going to see of your manual, you're going to see the homework for next week. So at the end of week one, you have your assignments for the following week. And one thing I'll point up out again, we may vary a little from the exact progression here. If there's something that I don't cover, I will get back to it at the appropriate time. So page 23 is homework. I'm going to give you a couple other things to do, easy things to do. I've already asked you to continue to work on your script. I would like you to bring two lists to next week's call. Those lists, I want you to bring a list of your clients high to low by assets. Patty, is that available on the desktop?
Peter can help us with that. Yeah.
Okay. I want you high to low by assets, and another list high to low by production. Now, I don't want the list. I never want clients' last names.
Sure.
But I want you to bring those two lists with you. I'm going to ask you some questions, and we're going to start to look at how to bring the number of clients you have down.
Okay.
I want you to be cognizant of people recognizing value. You all get compliments all the time. And while we don't get officially into acquisition until week 9, one of those acquisition strategies is keyed off of clients recognizing your value. We think the best time to ask, begin a referral conversation is when value is given and value is recognized by the client. So I would ask you to start noticing when clients say, thank you for this, thank you for that. So when we get into acquisition, it'll just be already ingrained. Now, one other thing I want you to do if somebody compliments you, I want you to confirm that you heard it. If you don't, clients are giving you a gift. A compliment is a gift. If you shrug it off or deflect it and say, oh, that's just what we do, that's like not opening the gift. Scott, I really appreciate how you've guided me through all the volatility. Got to confirm that might say, thank you for saying that. Our team works really hard to provide that type of guidance. Scott, do you see how you're confirming that you heard the gift?
Yes.
Okay. So homework, go over again quickly. Page 23 in your guide, work on your script, bring those two lists to the call, and be observant of people recognizing your value. When they compliment you, make sure you confirm back to them that you heard them. We've gone over a lot. I apologize for that, but the first week usually does. I pride myself. That's not right. I always start on time. If I go past, I ask for your permission to do that. Anything before we sign off?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, we'll talk the same time next week. I look forward to it.
Sounds great. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Bye.